You've likely seen the headlines, another major data breach, this time involving a company called Ebisource. But what makes this one, particularly unsettling? And what does it really tell us about the hidden vulnerabilities in our healthcare system? Today, we're taking a deep dive into the Ebisource data breach. We want to understand not just what happened, but also arm you with the knowledge and some concrete steps you can take to protect yourself. Because this isn't just a news story. It's about the very real personal impact on your most sensitive information.
Yeah, and it's crucial to understand why healthcare data is such a goldmine for cybercriminals. I mean, unlike, say, a credit card number that you can cancel and get reissued, the information in a healthcare breach often gives them a complete, almost permanent identity profile. Your medical history, your social security number, these things don't expire. That makes it incredibly valuable. And so, yeah, an irresistible target for people looking to commit some pretty sophisticated long-term fraud.
And Ebisource certainly became that target. They're a big player, right, in the U.S. healthcare data scene.
Yeah.
And they recently went through a sophisticated cyber attack that impacted, what was it, over 5.4 million patients. Just staggering. It really highlights the scale of what we're dealing with in our, increasingly digital healthcare world.
Absolutely. And to really grasp the gravity here, it helps to know who Ebisource actually is and their role, which is often kind of behind the scenes, but critical. They're a healthcare data and technology company. They specialize in some pretty complex stuff like risk adjustment management for health plans. That essentially helps insurers figure out how much your healthcare might cost. They also handle quality measurement and analytics, which affects how your doctor gets assessed. Plus, they do meticulous clinical data processing and healthcare coding solutions. So think of them as a vital go-between. They handle these intricate data flows connecting, doctors, your insurance company, and even government programs like Medicare and Medicaid. They really are part of the backbone that makes the system tick.
Okay, so given that really central behind-the-scenes role, did that make them sort of an inevitable target, or were there specific weaknesses? Can you walk us through the actual timeline? Like, how did this unfold?
That's a great question. While no system is totally foolproof, their central position definitely makes them attractive, yeah. The cyber attack itself actually started back on January 27th, 2025. What's concerning, though, is that Ebisource didn't discover the breach until 10 days later, February 6th. Now, at that point, they did immediately shut down their IT network to contain it. But that delay meant 10 full days of unauthorized access. And then, unfortunately, the patient notifications letting people know their data was possibly stolen didn't start going out until April 23rd, 2025.
February 23rd. Wow. And the official number of people affected is 5,418,866. That figure really does make it one of the largest healthcare data breaches we've seen in, well, in recent years anyway. But okay, beyond just the huge number, what kind of information was actually taken? When we talk about sensitive information, what does that really mean here? And why is it so much more dangerous than, say, a typical retail breach?
Right. This is where it gets particularly chilling. The data seems to fall into three main categories, all deeply personal. First, there's medical information. And this isn't just like a single diagnosis. It includes medical record numbers, info about your doctors, your providers, specific medical diagnoses, your entire treatment history, prescription meds and dosages, test results, even medical images.
Wow.
Second, they got access to insurance and financial data. So that means your specific health insurance plans, your policy details, your insurance company info. Member and group ID numbers, and critically, your Medicaid and Medicare ID numbers, plus other government payer IDs.
Okay.
And then finally, the real foundation, your personal information, full name and address, date of birth, social security numbers, that's the big one, and contact details.
Social security numbers too.
Exactly. And the profound difference here compared to, a credit card breach is that healthcare data, especially with your SSN, it doesn't expire. You can cancel a credit card, right? But you can't just get a new medical history or easily change your social security number. Criminals know this. They're basically investing in data that has an almost limitless shelf life. It lets them play the long game, commit fraud for years in ways that, typical financial breaches don't allow. They can use this medical info to file fake insurance claims, get prescriptions illegally in your name, even create fake medical histories to get treatment, or commit outright medical identity theft. I mean, imagine someone getting prescriptions filled under your name, or worse, having procedures billed to your insurance, and you have no idea.
That's terrifying. Just think about the long-term impact of that. Your medical history, your SSN, like you said, you can't just change it. It leaves you vulnerable for years, maybe even decades. So, okay, with that chilling thought in mind, what are the immediate steps? And longer term ones. What should you do if you think you might be affected or if you get one of those letters? Okay. For immediate action, the first thing has to be monitor all your accounts. This means regularly checking all your healthcare related accounts, your insurer portal, your pharmacy accounts, everything. Scrutinize your insurance statements, the explanation of benefits, or EOBs. Look for any services or claims you don't recognize. And of course, keep a very close eye on your credit reports. Check for any new accounts open in your name that you didn't authorize. Next, it's really vital to set up fraud alerts. You need to contact the three main credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion, and put a fraud alert on your file. If you're really concerned or you know for sure you were impacted, you might want to consider the stronger step of freezing your credit altogether. Also, be incredibly vigilant about suspicious communications. Cybercriminals often follow up on breaches with phishing emails or texts, trying to trick you into giving up more info. Be super suspicious of any message claiming to be from a healthcare provider or insurer asking for personal details. Always, always verify independently. Call them using a number from their official website. Don't click links and emails you weren't expecting. And finally, document everything. Keep meticulous records. Save any communication about the breach, copies of your credit reports, account statements, and make notes of any suspicious activity you find, including dates and times.
Right. Those immediate steps are critical. But then what about sustained vigilance? Because like you said, this isn't a short-term problem. So thinking long-term. For your digital security measures, you really need strong, unique passwords for all your healthcare accounts. Don't reuse passwords. And wherever it's offered, enable two-factor authentication. That's a huge extra layer of defense. Also, make sure your contact info is always current with your doctors and insurers. And use secure ways to communicate about health stuff online, like patient portals, not regular email if you can avoid it.
Good point about the unique passwords.
Definitely. Then for monitoring and alerts, maybe consider signing up for a reputable credit monitoring service. Some are free, some paid. Set up account alerts for your bank accounts, credit cards, and your healthcare accounts so you get notified of activity. And make it a real habit to review those explanation of benefits, those EOBs, from your insurance company. They are key to spotting fraud. And remember, you're entitled to free annual credit reports from all three bureaus. Actually, pull them and review them carefully each year.
So don't just sign up for monitoring. Actually, look at the reports.
Exactly. Finally, there are some healthcare-specific protections. Always verify the identity of anyone asking for your medical information, especially if it seems random or unexpected. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Keep your own detailed records of your appointments, treatments, prescriptions. It helps you spot discrepancies later. Review every single medical bill and insurance claim carefully. Match it against your own records. And if you see anything suspicious, a service you didn't get, a doctor you didn't see, report it immediately to your provider and your insurance company.
We do get this question a lot. Okay, how long do I actually need to monitor my accounts after something like this? And the tough answer is, well, unlike that canceled credit card, your healthcare data doesn't just expire. So you really need to stay vigilant indefinitely. At the very least, plan on watching things very closely for the next 2 to 3 years. But honestly, be aware that the threat could potentially last much longer.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate reality.
So let's shift focus a bit. What about Episource's response? What actions did they actually take once they discovered this breach?
Well, according to their statements and reports, Episource did take several key actions. They immediately shut down the affected IT systems, which is standard procedure to stop the bleeding, so to speak. They brought in third-party forensic experts to investigate exactly what happened, how the attackers got in, and what data was taken. They also promptly notified law enforcement and the relevant regulatory bodies. And as we mentioned, they started sending out those notification letters to affected individuals beginning April 23rd, 2025. They've also said publicly that they've put in place additional security measures to try and prevent this from happening again. But, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this specific breach really highlights these ongoing industry-wide vulnerabilities in healthcare cybersecurity. It's not just about, say, old legacy systems, although that's part of it. It's often these incredibly complex interconnected networks built up over years, sometimes decades. They have tons of access points. Trying to update one part can risk breaking something else vital for patient care, so it becomes this sort of high-stakes game of digital whack-a-mole that can sometimes stifle proactive security investment. And add to that, the sheer value of the data makes healthcare a massive target for sophisticated attackers. Plus, many organizations, frankly, struggle with limited cybersecurity budgets and finding enough specialized expertise. It makes them, well, easier targets.
So it makes sense. It's a complex web.
It is. Yeah. And this kind of breach automatically triggers a whole bunch of regulatory compliance requirements. It falls squarely under HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, which has strict rules about notifying patients and the government. Then you have various state-specific data breach laws that often have their own requirements. And the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, also has oversight. Not following these rules can lead to some pretty significant fines and penalties for the companies involved.
Right. And it's good for you, the listener, to know you actually have rights in these situations.
Mm.
Under HIPAA, you absolutely have the right to know what specific information of yours was compromised in a breach like this. You have the right to receive that notification letter we talked about. You also have the right to file complaints with regulatory authorities like the Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights if you think your privacy rights were violated. And depending on the specifics of the case and the damages caused, you might even be eligible to participate in class action lawsuits and potentially receive compensation.
Exactly. And beyond just your rights, there are concrete resources available to help people navigate this. Often, the company that was breached, like Episource here, will offer free credit monitoring and identity theft protection services for a period. Definitely take advantage of that if offered. You can also look into paid identity theft protection services for a longer-term coverage if you feel you need it. There's legal assistance, as you mentioned, especially attorneys who specialize in data breach cases. And there are those established regulatory complaint processes, HHS, the FTC, your state attorney general, where you can report problems directly.
Okay, let's quickly tackle a few frequently asked questions that always come up after a breach like this. First, the basic one. How do I know for sure if I was affected by the Episource breach?
Right. The primary way is that notification letter. Episode started sending them out April 23rd, 2025. So keep an eye on your mail. If you think you might have been affected, maybe you know your doctor or insurer uses Episource, but you haven't received a letter yet, the best bet is probably to contact Episource directly through their official customer service channels. They should have a dedicated process for inquiries about the breach.
Okay. And what if you do suspect actual medical identity theft? What are the really critical first steps?
Yeah, if you suspect medical identity theft, that's serious. You need to act fast. First, immediately contact your healthcare providers and your insurance company. Tell them about the suspicious activity. Ask for copies of your recent records. Second, file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC. They have resources specifically for medical identity theft victims at identitytheft.gov. Third, carefully review all your medical records and insurance statements, those EOBs again, looking for anything incorrect. And fourth, as we discussed before, definitely place a fraud alert, or even better, a security freeze, on your credit reports to prevent related financial fraud.
Got it. Another big question people have. Can I sue Episource over this data breach?
It's possible. You might have legal options. Often, class action lawsuits are filed after major breaches like this. Whether you can join an existing one or if there are grounds for other legal action depends on the specific facts and the laws in your state. The best advice here is always to consult with an attorney who specializes in data breach litigation and privacy law. They can assess your situation and explain your options.
Makes sense. And following on that, what kind of compensation might be available if you are part of such a lawsuit?
Well, that varies a lot depending on the case, how it progresses, whether it settles or goes to trial. Generally, compensation in these cases could include things like extended free credit monitoring or identity theft protection services. Sometimes there might be reimbursement for out-of-pocket expenses incurred because of the breach. And in some cases, monetary damages might be awarded through a class action settlement to compensate victims for the harm or inconvenience caused. But it really depends on the specifics of the legal outcome. You know, this whole deep dive really just underscores the ongoing nature of these cyber threats, doesn't it? While organizations like Episource absolutely have a huge responsibility to protect our data, our individual role in managing our own digital health, our own data security, it's just paramount now. Personal vigilance isn't really optional anymore. It's become an essential skill for navigating our interconnected world.
Absolutely. So what does this all really mean for you? In a world where our most sensitive data, our health information, seems to be a permanent target, how do we move beyond just reacting after the fact, after the breach happens? How do we start proactively building a stronger, more resilient digital self? And maybe more profoundly, what does this ongoing risk say about the future of trusting our most personal details to third-party providers, especially when the threat landscape just keeps evolving so rapidly? Something to think about as we all move forward.